I want to get our tagline for this episode.
Oh, Ted is coming?
No. This is episode one.
Oh.
I want to use.
Whoa.
Part man, part machine. All. What do you think of my tagline? We released that. That happened a lot with the Eric and Dave 2 years. Like, I listened to something. It's like, we released that? It sounded like that?
Well, that's the thing. Like, when we were recording that, where the fuck were we?
That would have been back in my office. Okay. No, that was Kayla's room.
Right. Yeah.
That was Kayla's room.
I was going to say it was before the office, so.
That was Kayla's room.
Yeah, that was probably about as good as we could do at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sound different now.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, shit. So that's going to be for our anniversary episode, which we're doing second.
Oh, okay.
All right. So I still need a tagline for
Make
the Avengers.
Make it the Avengers.
That might. What's up? This is Movies on Up. When evil reigns, only one team can weather the storm. My teammates assembled here today, Mr. Dave Bisella.
The Uma Thurman to your Sean Connery, perhaps?
I like that, because it has nothing to do with you being the more attractive. It's because I am of Scottish heritage. I'm sure that's it, right?
And I have ugly feet.
Oh, God. Everyone technically has ugly feet, but that. Dave, I'm Ryan. This is Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, when evil reigns, only one team can weather the storm. If you know what movie that tagline belongs to, please send your answer to us in one of the following ways. You can send it to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guess on our Facebook page, where it can be copied by literally dozens of people. Facebook.com/moviesonup is where you'd find that. Or you can tweet your answer at us, @moviesonup, on the Twitter machine. If you are correct, and if we choose you, you can win a prize package from us, and you can join what is a growing club.
Growing.
Now.
We got a new winner last week. There's another returning champ that's been winner for many, many weeks in a row. So that list of winners is growing. So
he doesn't
come
count,
join the party.
So congratulations, RJB. What's up? Brian Burke getting a prize package.
And we're not giving any hints this week. Usually we like tip it off on what the tagline might be, but no hints this time. Nothing.
No hints. This is our Avengers episode, so in no way, shape, or form am I going to give you any hints, because I don't feel like that would be something the Avengers would like us
to do. The only hint we'll give you is that we guarantee the movie that this tagline is from has absolutely nothing to do with Marvel's Avengers that we're about to talk about.
Nothing to do with
the Usually Avengers. We try to tie it in. This has no relation to Marvel's The Avengers.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think really either of us have done all of the homework. I'm just kind of looking through right now, and I don't necessarily see any connections, but I guess if you can connect the two, maybe we'll give you a super-duper prize package. I don't know. But the reason that we are, in fact, doing Marvel's The Avengers is because it comes out in theaters this week. No, not quite. It came out in theaters roughly 2 years ago, which is when Dave and I started this podcast voyage. So we thought it might be kind of fun to look back at what is the most successful movie pretty much since we have been on the internet airwaves.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of take a look at how it has changed all of our lives for the better.
I mean, it was a cool time because our first episode aired the week after this came out. So our first episode was pretty much us gushing about the Avengers a lot. And it's been interesting over the past 2 years how to watch movies change in a post-Avengers world, which is cool, and we'll touch on that.
As we typically do during any of our movie discussion episodes, we talk box office right in the front. And box office, obviously, is a huge part of the story for this movie. $895 million it made worldwide. That's not including the domestic haul. That is just in other foreign countries, it made $895 million. It opened to $270 million the weekend of May the 4th, 2012. May the 4th be with you. The force was definitely with the Avengers that weekend, making it the highest grossing opening weekend of all time, shattering the record that had been previously held by The Dark Knight, which made just $238. Not a bad haul for the Avengers opening weekend. Number two that week, Dave, do you happen to know what the number two film in the box office was that week?
I think it was that it was one of the Kevin Hart movies.
I think you're right.
It was the first Think Like a Man, right? It was about six or seven million.
Yes, Think Like a Man with 8 million.
Okay,
was number two at the box office that week. I went down and looked at Box Office Mojo numbers 2 through 140. Combined did not make $270 million, and that's probably not going to come as a shock. If you know the rest of the top 20 did, you know you're not going to get a lot of help from some of the smaller movies that were on about five screens. But that just kind of shows you the dominance that was the Avengers, not only at the time, but being one of the biggest grossing films of all time. We talked about the $270 million opening weekend. That was roughly a third of what the movie would go on to make domestically, $623 million domestically, making it the third highest grossing domestic film of all time. And as we like to do, I try and ask Dave the movie directly above it and directly below. And in fairness, usually no shot.
Titanic and Avatar are right above it.
Yes, in that order. Avatar is number one. Titanic is number two.
Dark Knight wasn't third overall, was it? What's the third?
No, third is
now,
Avengers.
But I mean, it didn't supplant Dark Knight as third overall, did it?
It did.
Okay.
It did. Dark Knight was number four. Number five, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace. And number six, Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. So all told, you add up your $895 million around the globe, your $600 and change domestically. This movie made $1.5 billion
on a $200 million budget.
And $200 million is a lot of money, but when you make $70 million opening weekend, you're in the black. $70 million after Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I think you're doing pretty good.
Actually, just 270 is the week total, right? It was 207.
Opening week, yes.
207 was the weekend.
I do not know. Yes. Opening week, 207.
70. Yeah, weekend was 207.
Perhaps.
Yes. I remember the opening weekend was 207.
Okay. I didn't separate the two. Dark Knight had the previous record for opening week at 238. Avengers nudged it with 270. And I guess it's not surprising that it knocked it from third place all
the
time.
And what's crazy is that there's always new records every year with it's like, oh, you know, This movie has the best opening in May. It supplants this movie from last year that opened big in May. Because of inflation, tickets are higher. You have 3D, you have IMAX, you have all that. This isn't going anywhere for a while.
Until next year.
Even that, I'm even curious, honestly, if Avengers 2 opens to $200 million. I mean, of anything that has, I don't think Batman Superman will open to $200 million. Like, I think it's such a rare thing that I don't know that we'll see another $200 million opening again. Even Star Wars, I don't know that opens to $200 million in a weekend. Like, this is one of those records that's ridiculous that I think it's going to be there for a while.
I guess it is ridiculous, but if you look at, you know, The Dark Knight specifically, not the first of the series, just the best performing of the series. I think Avengers, being a sequel, absolutely has the potential to open to not, I mean, 270 is a huge number. No movie has ever opened to more than that. I don't see any way it doesn't open to 200, because that's still $70 million less than the first one, which is a significant number. A lot of movies are thrilled if they make $70 million, period,
yeah,
opening weekend.
I mean, the bar is set high, but I'm excited to see it. I'm interested to see where it goes. But it just, that seems like one of those records. It's like, oh, that might be safe for a while.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the biggest openings of all time, I think all of the top, like, maybe 50, I think all but two are post-2000. Obviously, Episode One, 1999, is before that. And I think the other one was an Austin Powers movie.
Or Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park is up there with Independence Day, but I think they're even a little bit lower.
Yeah.
You look at it, and it is, you know, all the Harry Potters, Hunger Games, these newer franchises that have come out post.
But just to put this in perspective, Avengers, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, $270 million in its first week. Spider-Man, this just came out last week. This is where we're at. This is 2 years later, like comic book movies that are an all-time high. Spider-Man 2, lots of buzz behind it, lots of media hype. Opened at $92 million. That's still a great opening weekend, but that's less than half. Avengers second weekend.
It's closer to a third.
Yeah, second weekend for Avengers was over $100 million. So its second weekend was bigger than the opening of Spider-Man 2. And Spider-Man 2 is a giant hit. It's going to go on to make $200, $250 million, but that's probably where it tops out. And Avengers did that in its opening week. So that's why I look at it, and I think like that's going to be tough to top, because movies like that that perform, it just hit everything right. Everything just clicked. Everything sparked. It was new. It was something we'd never seen before. Nobody thought it could work, and it did. And it's a weird, and like I said, Avengers 2, logic says it'll open bigger, but I honestly don't know, because I think it set the bar so high.
There's no point of reference. Nothing has ever opened bigger.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, if you were a betting man, every movie in the history of movies has opened at less than the Avengers. So, I mean, really, you're betting on the long shot of all long shots. But that seems to be what Marvel kind of excels in nowadays. There was an article that I had read, not that I read a lot of Bloomberg Business Week, but when it happens to be about Marvel, I did read it, and Devin Leonard had a pretty rad article about kind of the journey that Marvel has been on over the past years and the stewardship of Kevin Feige, who's been responsible for as much of the success, if not more, of the success that Marvel has had really since the early 2000s than anyone. I think it's interesting to go back and look at where Marvel was at as before they were a movie studio, when they were a comic book company that had sold off the rights to what everyone thought was their two hottest properties, that being the X-Men, which they sold to Fox, and Spider-Man, which they had sold to Sony. Now, granted, those are really two properties, so you're left with a giant catalog of, you know, thousands, literally thousands of characters that you could use. But Marvel looked like, at least from a lot of people's perspective, that the cupboard was kind of bare, so you wouldn't think there'd be much potential for growth.
Because even Fantastic Four, you know, that's another well-known one.
Another Fox.
Yeah, Fox is well-known, but I mean, like, they got rid of Fantastic Four, X-Men, Spider-Man are three very well-known properties. They also had, you know,
Daredevil, Elektra,
Ghost Rider,
Punisher. Yeah.
Not as big as well-known, but when you look at what Marvel has left, you know, Captain America was probably the most recognizable, most well-known.
But
Iron Man was a second-tier character. Iron Man was never a big-time, was never one of Marvel's big-time hits. Thor had his niche, but
I think they felt like, or at least the sentiment was, that all these characters were sort of niche. There wasn't Spider-Man, it wasn't Batman, Superman, Wolverine. It was characters that, you know, Captain America himself, like after World War II, literally was put on ice. I mean, the comic wasn't selling, so they stopped it. You see it in the movie when he gets submerged, and that's how he gets put into present times. I mean, that's from the comics because it wasn't selling. I mean, Superman and Spider-Man, they've been cranking out since the 60s or even before that in the case of Superman. But, you know, these were, like you said, Iron Man, these were kind of secondary characters, I guess, like afterthoughts. I mean, Fox didn't buy Iron Man.
No.
Sony didn't buy Captain America. It was just kind of what was left over. And the interesting thing with that is Marvel was able to take, after seeing the success that the Raimi Spider-Man movies had and the success that the first couple X movies had, their stock, when these movies were out, stock goes up. When there is no Spider-Man movie, when there is no X-Folk movie, stock goes down. So to kind of mitigate that, Marvel can't really go to Sony and say, hey, get another Spider-Man movie out because we're in the tank here. They kind of just went all in on the Avengers. The characters they had left, they put up as collateral and got a loan for $525 million in financing from Merrill Lynch, and they became their own movie studio. They were the first major independent movie studio in Hollywood since DreamWorks. Yeah. And I'd argue that they've been more successful.
At this point, I don't really think they had a plan. I think it'd be hard to argue that they came in that at this point they knew what the plan was. Because what was the first one? Hulk was the first one to come out, right?
Yeah, I believe it was.
And that didn't tie into a bigger picture.
No. The Hulk didn't. I mean, they made a couple failed Hulk movies before.
But I mean, the second one was after the plan was in motion. But the first one, their flagship, I guess, their tentpole, at that point didn't seem like it was part of an overall bigger plan.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at Iron Man, which was the successful. I mean, that I guess that's where you look at the first successful.
The breakout hit.
Right, that. Oh, yeah, okay, maybe we can do an Avengers movie. That wasn't until 2008.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 3 years after getting the financing, which, there again, I mean, it takes a couple years to make Iron Man. You can't crank that out in one. So even if you look at, maybe there was a year of downtime there before they were able to get that churned out. But you go from a company, an independent company that is really going all in on everything they've got left, to a company that Disney spends $4 billion to buy 5 years later, 2 years after Iron Man, the same year Iron Man 2 comes out, Disney has said, yeah, we believe in the properties you have left, and we're going to buy them. Again, 2 years before the Avengers was out. So Disney has sunk $4 billion into Marvel. Now, obviously, they would go to make that back and pretty quickly with the Avengers making $1.5 billion. That's almost half your investment right there. But spent $4 billion on an independent movie company that had some success, but they weren't the Marvel that is today.
Yeah, and that's where everything happened, because that's when Big Picture came in, and that's when, you know, there were plants of the Avengers in Iron Man. Hulk, there was a plant, the second Hulk. And then, you know, Captain America, I feel like, was just getting the toe wet. Like, oh, let's call it the first Avenger and see where it goes from there. And then, you know, they were all in by then. And then it's like, we got to see if Thor can work. They made Thor work. And then everything's ready to go.
Kind of going back to Disney, they were, obviously, Disney's in the money-making business. And when they had first bought Marvel, a lot of people were kind of looking at them sideways. Disney's stock went down after they acquired Marvel, which obviously with the benefit of hindsight seems ridiculous, but that was kind of the story at the time. And you mentioned Captain America and Thor. The story at the time with Disney was they would much rather have the Avengers come out first, and then you can, yeah, fine, spin these other side characters off. Whatever you did with Iron Man, that's all well and good, but there's no way you're going to be able to duplicate that, much less triplicate that with Captain America and with Thor. We've seen that the Hulk hasn't worked. So I guess you're one for two at this point. Let's not push our luck. Let's get right to the Avengers. But Kevin Feige, to his credit, and I'm sure there were some other folks involved in that decision as well, but he was kind of the captain of the ship. He was the one that said, no, we really need to kind of have these movies to set Thor up as a character individual of the Avengers, and Captain America the same way, which is not necessarily a model that everyone's following.
No, and the choices they make, like you go to Robert Downey Jr. wasn't a bankable star when he was cast as Iron Man. He was a bankable star 20 years ago, 15 years ago, but he wasn't a star when he got the Iron Man job. Favreau had some success with Zathura, but he wasn't like a bankable director. You figure Chris Evans was maybe more known.
Johnny Storm?
Yeah, but he wasn't a big-time movie star. Chris Hemsworth, nobody knew. Kenneth Branagh directing a big-time blockbuster, big choice. You know, and then Joe Johnson with Captain America. Like, they made all these right choices. They nailed the casting, and then they nailed the director, and then they kept it cheap and said, okay, you want to raise for the second one? All right, next. And they made the other ones without spending all this money on the directors behind it until Whedon came in. Because even Whedon, I mean, he has his nerd following, but as far as box office success, not behind the camera he hasn't, to give him this kind of franchise, and it worked.
And it's kind of not just a regular directing job when you're the director of the Avengers. You are kind of literally the puppet master. I mean, you've got your fingers, because you have to. One of the things, obviously, that Marvel has kind of changed about maybe, I don't know necessarily about movie making as a whole, because not every film series or not every, you know, big summer movie can operate in this way, but they have, there is literally the Marvel Universe in which all of these movies, all of these Avengers movies, and if you look forward to Guardians of the Galaxy, they all take place in the same universe. So Joss Whedon does have his say in all, and he has to, because everything is kind of built around the Avengers as being literally the tent pole, and everything else is just kind of supports.
Going back to those decisions, like, it lets you do what you want from then. If you want to cast Paul Rudd, who is all known for comedies, and you want to cast him as a superhero because you think he's right, you can, because you've earned that trust.
Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk.
Yes, you've gained that trust. You can introduce Black Widow and Hawkeye as major Marvel characters. You can turn them into household names for being, I called Iron Man second tier. I don't even know what Black Widow and Hawkeye would be considered. They don't even get their own tier, I don't think. But, I mean, you make so many right choices. People just tend to follow along. And just Robert Redford was in Captain America 2. Glenn Close is in Guardians of the Galaxy. Michael Douglas is in Ant-Man. So you not just have these properties that, like, oh, people want to be in. Huge people that can pick whatever they want to do want to be in these movies. So they've taken right turns everywhere that they can.
It is hard to argue, even, you know, with the success of Iron Man, it's hard to argue with that. But yeah, when you are the third highest grossing film of all time, when you open to the biggest number ever, that does kind of get you a certain amount of store credit that you can kind of do what you want. And we talked about sort of the plan, where the idea was to have these three standalone movies, or at least movies for three standalone characters, before you got into the Avengers. And that was sort of, okay, Avengers, giant success. We'll call that phase one complete. And then you have a phase two where, okay, we're going to have sequels. You know, we're going to have yet another Iron, which would end up being the third Iron Man movie. We're going to have Cap 2. We're going to have Thor 2. Then we're going to have the Avengers. And that'll be phase two. But because we were so successful with phase one, we're not going to stop at two. Marvel has movies planned. Not just movies. They have properties planned through 2028. The world could blow up before that. Galactus could show up and eat the world before 2028.
And like I said, go back to the choices. Everything they've done has worked. So they can take Guardians of the Galaxy and throw it at the wall and see if it sticks. They can take Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, who these are more obscure, not super well-known, and make them work in the universe. And I guess the only thing I'd like to see them do different is, like, I'd like to see, you know, a Runaways movie that is in the same universe but doesn't necessarily tie in. Like, I'd like to see some of this, a movie starring one of the smaller superheroes that lives in an Avengers world but isn't part of the Avengers. Really, he doesn't have any chance to become part of the Avengers. Like, just to see that play out. Like, I like everything being in the same world, but there's not every world all ties together. So, I mean, I like they can go out there and they can create movies. I mean, Doctor Strange gets a mention in Captain America 2.
Doctor Strange, and he's been mentioned in the television show, in the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. I mean, he's getting kind of a push.
Yeah, and it hasn't been announced. Like, I'm really, really interested. Comic-Con this year is huge for Marvel, obviously, because you have, you know,
it is every year, but this is kind of what we're looking
this
for.
This is, you're going to kick off Phase 3, and you're going to announce Avengers 2 is next year, and then Ant-Man after that. After that, they don't really have anything. I mean, they have plans, but they don't have anything announced. So what are you announcing? Is it Cap 3? Well, Cap 3 has been announced. Thor 3, I'd assume. Doctor Strange. But how many? Right now, they're only doing two movies a year. They've got to bump up to three eventually. They got to potentially maybe even do four.
That, I mean, I would love that. Give me one a quarter. Then it does seem like you're always, and they have the character cachet to do it.
And that's what I mean. That's where a movie like Runaways, the stuff they have, I'm sure we'll touch on it, the Netflix series that are going to build into, like, you have all these characters. Doesn't have to be a major tentpole blockbuster. Give me a standalone Cloak and Dagger movie in March, you know, that doesn't build up to Captain America 3, but takes place in that world. That's what I want. Give me one in March, June, September, December. Like, I would take four gladly.
Yeah, I'm sure Disney would too. Yeah, give me four movies a year that are going to make $250 million, and I think I'll be okay with that. You mentioned the Netflix stuff, and I had kind of briefly ref. I mean, yeah, it's on ABC. So if you're not familiar with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show, you'll probably at least know that it's there, whether you watch it or not, you know, whatever. But I think it was in November that the partnership with Netflix was announced, to where you're going to have shows featuring Daredevil, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Jessica Jones, which is, I'll call it maybe phase one of Netflix, which leads up to a team-up show for the Defenders. So these characters all live in that same universe, and you can reference Steve Rogers, you can reference the Avengers, but maybe the two don't cross over. And I think you could see similar things with Guardians of the Galaxy. I like the fact that the universe is so expansive that it does seem like they are kind of spreading their wings and not... I'm glad that there's a... Not because I love Doctor Strange, but because that gives you, you know, more of the mystical side. And there's all sorts of other characters that could kind of hang out with Doctor Strange, and that would make a lot of sense. I would love... I mean, we've been talking about a Luke Cage, an Iron Fist movie forever.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
And, I mean, you're eventually going to get to a point where, after Avengers 3, Robert Downey Jr. is done with Iron Man. Chris Evans doesn't want to do Avengers 3 might be his last Avengers also. So, I mean, you're going to keep introducing these characters and keep bringing them in. There's enough of them, so you don't have to. Maybe Bucky becomes Captain America. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do with these movies now because they're in a position to make it work, and you can keep introducing characters and cycle them in.
I mean, with the Avengers, yeah, I mean, if I said, Dave, what's the lineup? Who are the Avengers? You can't answer that question because that lineup does change. I mean, Spider-Man, yeah, he's an Avenger. Guess what? So is Wolverine. Now, are those guys going to be in the next movies? Yeah, probably not. That's a little bit tougher. But, I mean, could you have, you know, Hawkeye is more of a main character? Yeah, you sure could if you could get Jeremy Renner.
I'm sure you could.
It's not like the guy doesn't have a career. Like, he's fine. But, yeah, there are plenty of guys that you can bring in. Yeah, you could bring in Iron Fist. He's an Avenger. That's fine.
I mean, you can introduce characters in a TV show.
Yep.
And throw them into, because the TV world, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is very related to the cinematic universe, is going to be very related to the Netflix universe. Like, it's all one world, which is one thing DC and Warner Brothers has never been able to pull off. Because, okay, we have Smallville, we have Tom Welling as Superman, Brandon Routh is Superman. Okay, now we have, you know, there's going to be this Flash TV show based off, that's a spinoff of that Arrow show, but that's not going to be Flash and Justice League, which is going to be, there's a blueprint for how to do it right, and it's just like Warner Brothers is doing the opposite of all that.
They did hire Zack Snyder, so I think everything is going to be fine, because if there's one thing we know about Zack Snyder, it's that Superman movie was awesome. I tried to give it the benefit of the doubt all summer last year leading up to that, and it was not good. I mean, I don't like the character of Superman, but it is interesting when you look at kind of the history of Superman. Is a character that's been around for a long time, and there's been a couple different times where Superman, they've tried to start it. Spider-Man, kind of the same thing. Batman, kind of the same thing. But none of these has been able to find the success that Marvel has. Oh, yeah, we're going to make Iron Man a movie franchise. Just on its first try with a character that's nowhere near as popular as Superman.
And exactly. And they pull it off. And like, okay, Daredevil's getting a Netflix series. If that series goes well, if you released a House of Cards movie, it would do well because Netflix has that kind of power. So you can introduce Daredevil in a 10-episode series and get him the kind of buzz and power to, okay, maybe a movie will work. And then you throw out a Daredevil movie. The Jessica Jones, all that stuff. Like, I can't wait for that Netflix stuff. You got Agent Carter, who was a character from the first Captain America, but she's left, you know, years and years ago. ABC wants to pick up a show starring her that it might hit the air as early as next fall, to where it goes on back-to-back with S.H.I.E.L.D. So, I mean, Marvel's, it's not like they just yeah, we're going to dip our toe in TV and see how it goes. No, it's I don't think Shields officially got the season two sign on yet, but I think it's inevitable.
I wanted to check, but not so much to actually do it. It's much easier to look at a movie and look at its box office and know whether or not it was successful, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about money. TV is a little bit harder because
we don't know.
No, we don't know.
There's no way to look at it and say, like, oh, this is making money.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, you know, the viewers, and that typically, obviously, the more viewers you have, the more you're able to sell ads. And that's, I mean, obviously, that's how the TV show makes money. That's how they're judged, is by how it's viewed. And I don't really know how well it's doing in terms of viewership.
But in the case of Marvel, I think it's a little bit more than that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because every commercial for Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is basically a commercial for Captain America 3,
exactly.
Avengers 3. Every episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a commercial for Marvel, for whatever they're doing. So from that standpoint, even if it's not making money, I think it's generating money in other ways. And, I mean, say what you will about the show, like Captain America 2 really, really saved that show. And I would like to see where it goes in season 2, but they're doing everything right. And they have been. We've been doing this for 2 years, and they've done everything right the whole time.
You kind of wait for a misstep from Marvel, and I'm not even sure what a misstep would be. A movie, we kind of said in our summer.
Because Iron Man 2, not good.
No, especially compared to the first one.
Yeah, not really a misstep. Like, Iron Man 3 made people mad, still made a ton of money.
That's kind of what in our summer preview episode, when we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, this is maybe the riskiest thing from a name standpoint, from how well known the characters are standpoint, and even from a casting standpoint, it's probably the riskiest thing they've ever done. So if they were going to quote unquote fail, you would expect to see it here. But if that movie makes $150 million, can you even count that as a failure?
No. And it's just, again, the casting, they cast who they want. They didn't care about, you know, oh, that he'll put butts in seats. The director, they picked the director they felt for right, not was right.
Not because he was going to put butts
in
the seats.
Not so that they could put from the director of Slither real big in the trailer, because I missed that part in the trailer. But, like, they're going out and they're getting who they want. And Guardians of the Galaxy, I think Phase 3 will be, you know, on the way. Like, Guardians will come after the Phase 3 announcement, but I think it'll help shape Phase 4. Because right now they're looking at Guardians as a standalone film. Worst case scenario, there's no second Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Best case scenario, you have another world that you can absolutely build on. So, and if it does well, you can get very creative on what movies you're making.
Yeah, and there's nothing to say that, you know, you couldn't have a scenario in which the Guardians of the Galaxy show up in an Avengers movie to help them battle Thanos. I don't know. Like, there's so many ways you could go, but somewhere, it's not like somebody right now, it's not like Kevin Feige and his army is sitting down right now thinking about what are we going to do with Phase 3 or Phase 4. They know. They have a roadmap planned through 2028. At this point, they're just tying all the strings together, and we can see that in things like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it goes parallel to Cap 2, like in real time.
They tried to, I mean, it was parallel to Thor 2. Like, they were cleaning up for Thor 2. Like,
right, yeah.
And I realize this episode just turned into gushing about Marvel, but you look at the whole scope of movies right now, and I think they raised the bar on everything. If the Avengers wasn't so big, do you think you're rushing to put Batman in Superman 2? I don't think so.
No, I mean, if the Avengers wasn't successful, I don't think we're getting a Justice League movie.
Yeah,
period.
But I mean, Man of Steel 2, it made money. Superman's a viable franchise. You could make a Superman 2 without Wonder Woman, Batman, and Cyborg, and whoever else you want to have in it, and still do well. But I feel like with Avengers, it's like, oh, we got to get the ball rolling. Instead of taking the patient approach and saying, like, okay, let's build up to Justice League in 2019 and kind of hope that Marvel is losing some steam after Avengers 3. Like, after Avengers 3, maybe they peter out. Like, let's plan our Justice League for then. Let's make our, you know, build up our Superman, reinvent our Batman, introduce Flash, Wonder Woman, And then go from there. But they're going the exact opposite approach.
And I think on the one hand, like, you can see we bought the rights for these characters. We know that comic book movies can be and are incredibly successful. So if we're not pushing out a Justice League movie in 2015, then we essentially are losing money. So I do think that, yeah, you could slow play and have another Superman movie and do a good Superman sequel, but, oh, that's cute. You've got one franchise that's doing really well. That's great. We've got four that are doing really, really well. So I do think that it maybe it raises the bar and it causes everyone else to have to try and do the same thing. Because if you look at, like, the Avengers, $1.5 billion. If I was Fox, I can't leave $1.5 billion on the table. I got to do something. And if that means, okay, I got to take my brand new X-Men cast and I got to put them with Halle Berry, damn it, I got to do something.
Yeah, I was trying to get through without getting angry. But, I mean, it's also what the Avengers showed was that audiences are willing to be they're willing to stick with you. Like, they're willing to commit to something. And, I mean, Harry Potter did that because, I mean, you knew going into Harry Potter that this was going to be at least 7 movies. That was a long-term thing. And you had that fan base built up. But what Marvel's showing is that you can get fans and you can have them commit. So even something like The Hunger Games, Divergent, just like Twilight and Harry Potter did, they could split that book into two, the last book into 2 movies because the fans are committing. And
you have essentially a built-in fan base already. I mean, if you look at Harry Potter, if you look at Twilight, The Hunger Games, these books, bestsellers, so millions of units. Comics aren't doing that. Marvel is saying, all right, with what we've built up, guess what, people? You like Thor now. And damn it, people like Thor now. It's not like they have a bunch of Twihards ready to see, Edward and Bella.
Yeah, but I mean, they're proving that that audience is going to be there. So, you know, they don't have to rush. You know, Thor 2 did okay in 2013. They don't have to rush Thor 3 out by 2014, not even by 2015. Thor 3 can come out in 2016 and be okay. And it's showing that if you put out the good product, your fans are going to find it, and they're going to commit, and they're going to be ready. You don't have to take the Hobbit approach, the Lord of the Rings approach, where, okay, we're going to do a movie every year.
Film them all at once.
For the next 3. Like, you can take your time. You can focus on this movie and think, if it's good, they'll wait the 3 years. That audience will still be there in 3 years.
I mean, they're not really asking you to wait 3 years. You know what I mean? Because, okay, Thor 2 was 2013. All right, well, I don't have to
Cap
wait.
Cap 2 was 2014.
Exactly. Avengers is going to be next year, so you're not really waiting a year. And if they do 2 movies a year, you're not even waiting 6 months. Yeah. You're getting something. Yeah, it's not the continuing adventures of the God of Thunder, but they're giving you something else that they know you're going to like because it is a very similar creative team is involved with all of this, which is lovely.
I think from an overall scope of making movies, I touched on it in our summer preview where I feel like we're getting more quality summers. Not necessarily all because of Avengers. I feel like Inception was kind of the introductory point a few summers ago where you put out this new property that wasn't, you know, it wasn't a tentpole. It wasn't something that they were hoping to make 10 movies of. You released it. It was an original movie in the middle of the summer with a big-time director, big-time cast, and it made money. It wasn't your typical summer blockbuster. It was a good movie that was released in the time of the big summer blockbusters. And since then, you've seen less and less battleships.
Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yes, less and less of those. Like
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, let's throw $150, $200 million budget at this idea that might do well and just hope that it, you know, makes the money overseas. You're seeing less of that because you're seeing them say, okay, we can focus instead of, you know, making $200 million blockbusters, we can make one $150 to $200 million blockbuster, but take our time and make it work and make more money than we would off of those 2 mediocre movies that we rushed out. And then you're able to see more variety in the summer. You're getting more stuff released. It's not tentpole after tentpole after tentpole. Like, yeah, you still have a share of them in the summer, but it's not like, oh, here's a $100 million movie. Next weekend, a $100 million movie. And I like that. I think that's good overall for movie viewers.
I think it does make it easy. We talked about the schedule this summer. It doesn't seem like it's as...
It's not like heavy hitters all the time.
Right. It's not as clustered up as it was last year, even. But I think, you know, this summer, you look at a movie like a Godzilla, that's absolutely a tentpole movie. You know what I mean? But there's going to be substance to it as well. It's going to end up being not just entertaining because there's going to be a giant lizard smashing stuff, but you've got legitimate actors in it that are very good, very compelling, and there's actually going to be a story. And I think that's...
And a legitimate director with no studio resume. So, I mean, studios are taking...
Which absolutely follows the Marvel model.
Yeah, studios are taking the chances. Colin Trevorrow has one independent movie that, you know, I loved it, you enjoyed it, not as much as I did, but it wasn't a massive hit, and he gets Jurassic Park 4. Like, he gets handed one of the biggest franchises in the world because Marvel did it. And not necessarily because Marvel did it, but it's shown. You know, I like to look at Superman, where you have Duncan Jones, who's done really good character-driven stuff, who focuses on a main central character and makes that character very compelling, which when you make a Superman movie, you have to have a compelling character. And he gets passed over for Zack Snyder because Zack Snyder makes movies quick, relatively cheap, makes them look good, and they could throw director, 300 director, whatever on it.
But look at the inverse of that, Christopher Nolan. You know, you have a guy that does exactly what you said needed to be done. They hired him, and he made some tremendously successful Batman movies. And they, I mean, give them credit. They tried everything they could do, short of holding a gun to his head, to get him to do Justice League. He just didn't want to do it.
But I mean,
don't
even
blame him.
That was the old model, because Christopher Nolan kind of had to do Insomnia on a studio budget to kind of show that, okay, he has a studio pedigree now. Duncan Jones had to make Source Code to show, like, oh, you have a studio pedigree now. Now, that studio pedigree, who cares? Like, it's, oh, you're a good director, you have a great vision, go for it.
Yeah, I mean,
you directed Slither? Okay, here's a $200 million space epic, very ballsy movie.
Yeah, because we liked what we saw with Super, so let's do that. And I love both of those movies, and I love all the Marvel movies. If that didn't come across this episode, I think Dave and I are both in pretty much agreement that the Disney Marvel Studios has done some pretty good things.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fitting. Like, I really didn't want this episode to be just us gushing about Marvel, which is all it did. But if you look at, we've been talking about movies for 2 years. Look at the scope of the past 2 years and who's had a bigger impact on movies than Marvel. On who's even had a bigger impact on pop culture than Marvel over the past 2 years? Nobody. So I think it works out. I'm fine. I'm justified now. I'm over it.
So you're okay with the fact that we have just drooled all over the collective? Nah, yeah, that's
And you
fine.
Know what? I think it'll continue. If we're still doing this in 2 years, I'm still going to hopefully gush it about Ant-Man. Hopefully I get my Cloak and Dagger movie. Like, I hope, you know, you get your Doctor Strange movie, like, and we get to talk about it.
I'm talking about how awesome Ray Park was as Iron Fist.
Yes.
And how I couldn't imagine a Luke Cage anyone other than Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, I like the guy, Isaiah Mustafa.
I'm sure
you do. Or Terry Crews.
Terry Crews. What about Chewie? Do you think he could pull it off?
He needs to be Black Panther.
Yeah, I give you that.
Him or Chadwick Boseman, just depending on which age they go with. But one point I did want to make. this is just...
Speaking of Chadwick Boseman.
No, be pre-Chadwick Boseman. We talked about they auctioned off, you know, not auctioned off. They just raffled off Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, X-Men. They're doing okay. Like, that's the point of this episode is that, yeah, they're doing all this without their biggest properties.
What everyone thought were their biggest properties.
And I mean, on the hindsight, like, I don't need Spider-Man tied in with the Avengers. So I'm okay with Spider-Man not being there. But with what they're doing with the Avengers mythos, could you imagine if there was a separate storyline going where the universes were coexist, but parallel, if they were doing this with X-Men stuff? If the X-Men movies were put together as well as the Avengers was, if your X-Men spinoffs, you got the proper Wolverine spinoffs, and whoever else you want to do because there's a million options there, I would love an X-Men in this Marvel, under Marvel's direction, under Marvel's control.
Yeah, and that's something that, I mean, you could absolutely see happening down the road. I mean, it's not like...
We almost got Fantastic Four back to...
Yeah.
Because they lost Daredevil. They lost Punisher. They lost, I can't remember if Ghost Rider went back. But, I mean, that's my main. I want to see Punisher at some point. Even if you bring Tom Jane back, I want that. I like Tom Jane as Punisher.
Yeah, I'd like to, what was that?
Dirty Laundry.
That was it, yeah. If you had any questions on whether or not Thomas Jane should be the Punisher, just watch that.
Or the movie. I thought the movie was
good.
Yeah,
no, the movie was fine, too. But pretty much everything Marvel does, you know, if they take X-Men back, if they're able to get it back, or Spider-Man back, obviously, even if they didn't fold it into the Avengers, you know they would do a great job with it. And I'm not, I've liked the web Spider-Man movies, and I liked First Class. I really think I'm going to like Days of Future Past. So I got nothing against those movies. But I just feel like if I knew that Feig and his buddies at Marvel and Disney were involved, it would just open so many more possibilities that, I mean, we can't even begin to imagine all of them now. So I guess if you add even more in there, it's just more of a mind exploder. But obviously, I guess the takeaway is whatever Marvel does is awesome until proven wrong. And I don't know when I would expect that is. I hope it's never. Like, I don't want to be an internet snob about it and be like, well, I hope they fail. No, I don't.
I like what
they're
doing.
Keep making good movies.
I'm excited for Ant-Man. I'm excited for Guardians. Like, I'm excited for everything they have coming up. Cap 3 hasn't even been written. I'm excited for it. Give me Thanos and Avengers 3. Kill off Steve Rogers and Tony Stark if you want. I don't care. I'm on board.
If you need a scientist, hey, let's get Hank Pym. He's a pretty smart guy, too.
I want the Netflix shows to show up. Like, I can't.
Give me season 2 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, whatever.
More Phil, please.
Yeah.
Lot of things that can be done. So, yeah, I feel like we kind of maybe cast, to borrow a character that isn't under the Marvel banner right now, we kind of cast a large web here, but that's kind of it. That's the way Marvel operates now, is they are kind of getting their tentacles into anything and everything. So I guess kind of looking back at Avengers, you can't just look back at Avengers. You have to look back at what it's done to Marvel and to, like you said, pop culture in general. And we've tried to do that as best we could, but it's an interesting movie to just research because, you know, it did shatter a bunch of records. Normally, when they are successful, we talk about the Joss Whedons, we talk about the Robert Downey Jr.'s, but very rarely do we look at the producers and say, oh my God, you are as responsible for this as anyone else that was behind the camera or in front of it for that matter. So,
and most importantly, they didn't fuck up Whedon.
That's absolutely true, as we were so worried about 2 years ago, roughly. So again, I guess in a fitting way, Kevin Feige.